will rise or fall, the level that is of control, the level of an abiding relationship rises and falls on a number of things that are connected to our spiritual life. So we began with that, and we tried to just be simple and say that the counsel of the Lord Jesus is probably the best advice, the best counsel that we can take when it comes to being filled. And Jesus said, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Should we do that, the container, so to speak, is going to always be capped off. But you and I know, creatures that we are not going to probably maintain that over the course of our lives consistently any more than we can keep the commandments of God in Moses' law. It is something, however, that we strive to, should be conscious of, and to be aware of the fact that it is available to us. So whenever we think about that, we started by looking at Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4, and we first pointed out that the fullness was exhibited in verses 1 through 7 in chapter 4. A number of things there. We're not going to go down item by item again. But also made this mention that the excesses, where Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, those excesses can tend to fracture the unity and the oneness of the body. That should be obvious. So God gave shepherds for the protecting, the perfecting, and the blessing of the saints. Something to keep in mind as Pastor Bramlett returns tomorrow and begins anew his ministry here for the edifying of the body of Christ. We also gave some consideration to certain expectations that this commandment brings. I think it was in week 2. We just mentioned that whatever God would expect of us, he inspects about us. He's always evaluating, always observing, always coming alongside to help. And keep this in mind too. Our God is not the kind of God who stands over our shoulders and beats us every time we step out of line. But he does touch the heart. He's a most gentle God. Until it becomes apparent that his children are dug in and implacable in their sin, and then he takes more decisive steps to bring about a resolution. He can do that. He has done that. So we also looked at the concept of an exchange, where we are to put off the elements of the former fleshly lifestyle in chapter 4:22 and put on the element of a new life, righteousness and holiness, true holiness. And so we proceeded on from there, and we come to the place where we want to see the enumeration of the manifestation of spirit filling. Whenever we think about this, there's an absolute contrast between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit reveals and necessitates, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me, come to verses number 7 and 8. Keep in mind at each stop here the word holy, and keep in mind the extent of holiness. Holy, holy. Okay? So we come here to this enumeration, this first enumeration, which is personal separation. Personal separation. Verse number 7 talks about the children of disobedience in verse 6. Verse 7 and 8, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Two things to point out In verse 7 and verse 8, the sense of the word let, where we see in verse 6, let no man deceive you, it carries this idea of a continuous caution. Never let any man deceive you. And then verse number 7, again, the word be not is in the same sense. Be not ever partakers with the children of disobedience. Never. And then you have in the 8th verse, it is there that we walk as children of light, and there is the same sense again in the word walk. Be always walking as the children of light. Never, never draw close kinship with the children of disobedience. Now, it should be said that if we take the counsel of Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I think in the 5th chapter, that it's virtually impossible for us not to be in proximity with the children of disobedience in the course of life. He said in order to prevent that, you would have to go out of the world. Now, one day we will. But while we're here, it's virtually impossible not to be somewhere near the children of disobedience, somewhat influenced by them in what they may say or what they may do, their likes and their dislikes. But when he says, be not partakers with them, there should never be an instance where we succumb to what may be alluring or tempting in their lifestyle. So there is this personal separation, but does not at all teach isolation, because those are the exact people, the children of disobedience are the people that you want to sow the seed of the gospel into. So you have to get in some kind of proximity with them, but you can never surrender the high ground of holiness in order to accomplish that. Should never do that. So you have this personal separation. The 11th verse also addresses this, and it gives a biblical in-chapter definition of what it means to be personally separated in verse number 11. And there the verse says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, two times in that 11th verse, you have that present imperative, that ongoing sense of the word where it says, and have no fellowship. Never have fellowship with them. Do not undertake that kind of a relationship, but rather, and I think this is where your fellowship will probably be curtailed, not on your part, but theirs. But it says, reprove them. And that is an activity that's ongoing. Not sometimes, not occasionally, but wherever it is called for, you reprove them. Whether they be family members, workmates, neighbors. If reproof is in order, it is what must be given. Now, there this personal separation, you can go into Proverbs, and the writer of Proverbs in the very first chapter gives more details about what that involves. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not, for example. Personal separation. But Number 16, 26, if you'll turn there, just don't lose your place in Ephesians, but go back to number 16 for a minute. And see the a real concise explanation of this, an application of it, really. In number 16 and 26, this is the chapter that dealt with rebellion in family. But look at verse number 26. He spoke unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Now there is, later on in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, where Achan's family was concerned. They touched the unclean thing, and they were summarily dealt with. You come into the New Testament, into the Corinthians, 1st or 2nd Corinthians 6, I don't know which chapter it is for sure, but there again, the counsel from Scripture is touch not. Touch not. I would take that to mean simply no contact. Don't take it to yourself. So when a person, Christian spirituality manifests Holy Spirit filled living, it is that the individual is wholly filled with the Holy Spirit. Absolute control. Then there is this to consider. There might be, it's probably pretty clear, but the filling of the Spirit prompts a sweetness in your attitude and demeanor. For example, in verse number 9 here, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians 5, 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Fruit is by its nature sweet. Whenever we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and please notice there are three things mentioned here: goodness, righteousness, and truth. The first three elements of that one fruit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, and peace. Then you have also, in addition to that, the very last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at verse 13, three more, where it says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, charity. And the greatest of these is a sweetness. So you can be personally separated from people, from the children of disobedience, and not be sour in it. You can be sweet in your demeanor toward them. You can. A nice, sincere smile always goes a long way. Always a long way. A scowl, on the other hand, maybe not so productive. Even when you reprove a person, it needs not be with a scowl. Not like that. Third thing. The filling of the Spirit is straightforward. Straightforward. In verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The filling of the Spirit is straightforward. It's the smart course. I have been a student of feline navigation for many, many years. Feline navigation. And they are some of the most circumspect animals in the world whenever there is a sense of danger. I have never seen an animal go into hyper slow-mo. I mean, it's almost like they're held in suspension when they start taking these steps. And not only are they into the slow motion, but they get into that creepy crawl. So that they're hardly able, you can't see how they're moving at all, but they're very slow. They're marking their path. And there's that dumb squirrel sitting over there. And he does not see the cat coming, does not hear the cat coming. And all of a sudden, before you know it, the cat leaps out of that little spring-loaded position, and he's got him. Normally, the squirrel wins these races. But sometimes the cat, in his circumspection, wins the day. Which is to say, and by the way, how does that apply to us when we talk about walking circumspectly? I say, be careful where you put your feet. Calculate where your steps are going. Don't try to do it on the fly. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, do not plan ahead to get as close to the line of sin that you can without crossing it. Don't make plans to do that, because inevitably, you'll cross over. It'll become really difficult to withstand. And so the filling of the Spirit, when the child of God is wholly filled with the Holy Spirit, she tends to walk in that manner. Very, very careful. Cautious, not fearful, but because we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight, but we do walk carefully. And especially in this world, whenever you can get hung out to dry for something you might say, whenever you can get hung out to dry for some place you might be, something you might do, sentiments that you might express, somebody's always looking to take a ball bat to your kneecap. So be very, very careful where you walk. And then, of course, there is the wisdom part of it here. It's a smart course in verse number 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You pick an issue. We don't have the time to do it tonight. But you pick an issue, right? Write two or three down on your journal when you have your Bibles open and have the time to explore it. Pick any issue you want. And I'm going to go out in this limb with a chainsaw, but I'm not going to put the gasoline in it. I'm going to say that there's not an issue you can put down on a piece of paper what the Bible does not address. Understand what the will of God is. Understanding what the will of God is. We understand this much. We abstain from all appearance of evil. Now keep in mind what that verse does say. It's obvious we are to keep from evil. Would you agree with that? Keep from evil. Using God's definition of what evil is, but the verse says, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of it. I mean, if there's any doubt, don't. When you guys get your suits on Sunday and you put your necktie on and you pull your shirt out of the closet, wherever you keep it, you open it up and there you said, that collar looks pretty brown on this white shirt. It's pretty crusty. You know, but the neat thing about those kind of shirts is once you put them on and button them, nobody else can see them. Nobody else. And then when you get home from church, you take that shirt and you put it in the hamper and you put shout all over the collar to make sure that it comes out on the next wash. But if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Okay? If it's doubtful, it's dirty, even though nobody may see it. Just think about that. The child of God who is filled with the Spirit is holy, holy. Be ye filled with the Spirit is what the command requires. So I would say, again, we look at the 18th verse and we just repeat that. Be not drunk with wine, which is to say, be filled with the Spirit and not with the sauce. Okay? Not even a little nip. Not even a little genteel toast at some celebration, a wedding reception, or a baptismal doflinky, whatever it is. Don't even put a nip to your lips. Because one little nip is going to alter this. And a third party enters into your system that robs you of the control, the submissiveness that God requires. So let me also say, as we continue on down through here, that the filling of the Spirit is song-filled. Song-filled. Please notice what we have here about the singing, making melody, spiritual song singing, and making melody in your hearts unto God. You have this statement, as we've looked at the personal separation, we've looked at the encouragements in verse number 14, but I want to just touch upon this matter of music in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, and if you put a period there, speaking to yourselves, okay? Now, that's a collective word. Speaking to yourselves would be like Dan Claypool up here, as he did a week or so ago, he sang that solo that was provided to him by a granddaughter. And he did it in this company. That's the sense of this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart. And please notice the last three words that are all important. It's to the Lord. even though he was standing here singing at the time and folks were seated out here being blessed by the words, you were not the primary audience for this gift that was displayed. At all times, he or she who sings must remember that they sing unto the Lord. He is the primary audience for what we do in that realm. When we go over to Leechburg on Sunday night and there's hymn singing and special music, the people need to be reminded that as they sing, it's not for some kind of a theater performance. It's not some kind of an external, look what I can do kind of arrangement. But it's to be presented as unto the Lord, every word in every song. You know, the world's music can't do that. The world's music doesn't do that. I was driving along someplace this past week. And we have that, Sirius radio do in our car. I heard somebody say something about jazz music or something. It was even music from the 60s that was back on one of the Sirius channels. I said, you mean they still play these things that I heard when I was a kid? In junior high school, in high school. So I rolled that thing back to the designation on the number, and they were hard at it. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to them, and I'm hearing the same line going over four or five times to this hard beat. And then they shift gears, they have a different lyric, and it goes four or five times more, the hard beat. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there was a time you was really liking that stuff. Now, I don't know how it was with you, but when God saved me, he took what I liked and what was customary around my circle of friends, and he took the appetite away. Never did I once, and still haven't done to this day, point a finger at people who have not been delivered from that. But I will say that that kind of worldly music, word-based, it should be word-based, edifying in essence. You've got to ask the question, is what I'm listening to, is it building into my life by the Spirit of God? I don't know if you folks are, maybe you don't listen to radios anymore, but on the computer, I always try to tap into Buffalo Ridge, the Baptist Church there, and they have a 24/7 radio streaming, and all they play 24/7 is great gospel music of different kinds, even stuff that Pastor Bramlett gets into. And they do. They got some old quartets. They have some folks from way out in the mountains, but they're singing unto the Lord with joy in their hearts. And I can sit there and I'm writing the script for Sunday sermons, and I'm going 240, and all this music's just right filling into my soul. And I would highly recommend that. If you have a computer and you want to listen to some good music and don't have to be afraid of what you're listening to, that would be the place to go. Say what? It is the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Tennessee. But they do have, it's a beautiful ministry, beautiful ministry. Some of Ron Hamilton's music, even though Ron, I don't know if he's still alive or not, or if his wife is still caring for him in his dementia, but some of Ron Hamilton's music is always on there. The Calvary Quartet is always on there with stuff, and different folks that some of whom I've never heard, but they just fill the heart with joy. So you have that to consider, that if the child of God is filled with the Spirit, not only will he be wholly filled with the Spirit, but that will spill out over into the life. And I think I mentioned to you Sunday that one of the things I do, I stopped doing now, I lay me down to sleep prayers a long time ago at bedtime. But what I do is my head hits the pillow in the 30 seconds before I go unconscious, I ask God to please fill my heart with the word and with the music of God. And if I'm doing any dreaming, God forbid the nightmares, but if I'm doing any dreaming during the course of the night, let me hear those words. And when I get up in the morning, may the first thing come into my mind is something out of the scripture or something that is out of the one of the lyrics of these gospel songs. And what a joy it is to get up. And you know, you can't just jump out of bed anymore. I can't. So I got to sit there and wait a couple seconds till I get my equilibrium. But it's wonderful to sit there with a little song being rehearsed in the heart. Then there is this. The filling of the Spirit will issue in loving submission in three areas. In the home, in the church, and on the job. And that we find in verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's the home. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We also run that down through to chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that may be well with thee. And when you get over to verse number 5 in that same chapter, before you get to the Lord's haberdashery in verse number 10, there's the job to consider. The job to consider. Now, there's slight modifications you make with the application, but you get the sense of it. But the child of God, who is filled with the Spirit, will be holy, holy. And it will be manifested in his sweet, sweet submissiveness in the home. And then one final thing. The psalmist writes in Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, zero in on the afterward, and afterward, receive me into glory. Receive me to glory afterward. We always must remember, as we contemplate walking with the Lord, striving by his grace to be filled with his Spirit, to remember that there is an afterward. There is an afterward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, there is the judgment seat. We're all going to be there. We're all going to stand before God at the judgment seat. And there's this counsel in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the children of God who, seeing that they look for such things, he says, wherefore be diligent, live in peace, seeing that you look for such things, as are described in that end time epistle. And then probably the best of all in the afterward, think about this, don't ever lose sight of it. It is a tremendous incentive to holiness of life. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, two things to take. We shall see him. We shall be like him. Afterwards. And so I respectfully finish this ninth segment of this feeble attempt at topical exposition of the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you that I've got about 8 pages in my already written in my book for the next time out, and I have about 8 more pages that I have to convert to readable script after that. So good news is, likely I'll have to talk with the boss when he gets back tomorrow or whenever, and I just may shut this down for the rest of the year, give him a break and give you a break and give me a break. But I've enjoyed the study. I hope you got something out of it, and I just ask that you would carefully consider who's living with you, who's living in you at all times. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for God's people. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the blessing of your presence. Thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that displayed itself at Calvary, and yet at the same time displayed there was your hatred for sin. And you revealed to us the penalty for sin, which was death. And we sing then with joy that Jesus paid it all. And we also take note that before he left, before he ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he has come. And he is here. We are grateful for that. We're thankful for all that he does in our midst. We're thankful for the fact that he yet restrains evil so that it does not fly out of total and absolute control to the utter dismay of the world inhabitants, as one day it surely will. Help us, Lord, as Spirit-filled Christians, to be bold in our witness, to take every opportunity that we have, every time out, to put the good news in the hearts of people, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you.